you heard me pray. I just wanna thank you for always being there when I was so down and out. You came along and made me wanna shout. I just wanna thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If I had a million lives to live, I'd live them all for my Lord. For he's been so good to me, and that is the least I could afford. He made good times outnumber the bad. He's been the best friend I've ever had. I just wanna thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When I was so deep in sin, having no hope, no peace within, I called on your precious name, and you took my sin and my shame. Now I am free from doubt. You came along and made me wanna shout. I just wanna thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just wanna thank you, Lord, for every time you heard me pray. I just wanna thank you for always being there. When I was so down and out, you came along and made me wanna shout. I just wanna thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, I just wanna thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Well, amen. And so many families, like the Jones family, have so much to rejoice and thank Him for. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14 tonight. Matthew chapter 14. And I shall read a very familiar passage of Scripture to you. And I want to speak to you tonight on the subject, enduring the storms. Enduring the storms. If you found your place in Matthew chapter 14, we'll stand and I shall begin to read in verse number 22. Verse number 22. And I'll read through verse 33. The Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And the Lord said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Now I want to read one other little passage to go along with this, and it's found over in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 24. The Bible says, Therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be like unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Now I want you to notice in this story here in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching the importance of building on the right foundation. But he teaches us that whether or not we're built on the rock Christ Jesus or not, we're going to face storms. We're going to face trials. We're going to face tough times. But those that are built upon the rock have the promise of safety and protection. The ones who build upon the sand, the things of this world, have no protection. And I want to talk to you tonight on the subject enduring the storms. We know that whether we're saved or not, storms are going to come. Whether you're right with God or you're not right with God, storms are going to come. And God would have us to learn how to get the benefit out of the storm. That we might not just go through it, but we might endure the storm and allow God to accomplish His purpose in the storm. So I want to talk to you tonight about enduring the storms for just a few moments. Father, help me tonight as I bring this message. Help me to be helpful to our people. We know that throughout the course of 2006, many of us have gone through some personal and individual storms of one kind or another. We've watched some people drop out, quit, give up, and are not serving God tonight because the storm overwhelmed them. I've watched others face the storms, and instead of being destroyed, they've grown stronger in their faith and trust and dependence upon Jesus Christ. And you use the storm to grow them and strengthen them and help them in their development as a Christian servant. Lord, help us tonight to learn the lessons that you're trying to teach us from the Scripture when you put stories and examples such as these in the Word of God. Fill me and help me to speak clearly and plainly. Help the people to listen on purpose and get the message and its meaning so it can help them as we go through life's storms year after year, day after day. We'll thank you for what you shall do in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Storms in the Bible are used by our Lord in many different ways. He uses storms in times of drought to send rain to refresh the earth. May I say also many times in our lives and in our churches, God sends storms among us in order to stir us up so that He can send revival and refreshing in our hearts as well. God uses a storm to bring His chastisement on a Christian servant who is running from the will of God for his life. You remember the story of Jonah, how that God had called him to go to Nineveh and preach, And he didn't want to go to Nineveh and preach. So he went down to Joppa and took a ship going to Tarshish, going in the opposite direction. But God sent a storm. And that storm shook the ship. And they finally threw Jonah overboard. And a great fish prepared by the Lord swallowed him up. And there 3 days and three nights in the belly of that fish, God gave Jonah an attitude adjustment. He used the storm to accomplish his purpose and bring him to the place where he was willing to obey God. The Lord Jesus used storms to teach his disciples to have faith in God and to use what faith they have and then have more faith in God. God providentially used a storm to deposit the missionary Paul on a barbaric island where he could proclaim the Word of God. Nahum 1:3 says, "The Lord hath His way in the whirlwinds and in the storms, and the clouds are the dust of His feet." This year, 2006, has been a year of personal and individual storms for many people in our church. I know of many that have gone through personal, individual crisis, times of crisis. Many of our staff wives have suffered personal, physical problems during this storm. Several have had bouts with major illnesses. For me, this has been a pressure-filled year with many heavy burdens. I've had two surgeries this year. You know, I went along fine for many, many years thinking, man, this old body is tough, and I had good health, no sickness, and then in the last 4 years, I've had four surgeries. And with them comes personal disabilities and physical problems that you have to deal with. And in a sense, God uses situations like that to bring our mind back to His will and our life back to His purpose and His plan. I know personally many of you have gone through storms. Some of you are going through storms now. Storms that are allowed by God for a purpose. Don't get all upset and fret when you have problems. Realize that God has not forsaken you. He may very well be allowing the problems for your benefit and for His glory. So learn to trust Him. Don't fret and get angry and bitter and quit. That's what many do. God does not intend for our problems to make us bitter, but better. He is not trying to defeat us. He's trying to complete us in our growth, in His will, and for His glory. Now the question I want us to ponder tonight is, how does a Christian get through his storms without getting bitter and without being destroyed by them? You see, it'd be easy for me to get bitter and angry when Sunday school teachers grow lax and allow their classes or departments to lose their momentum and begin to downhill slide. It'd be easy to get angry and bitter when two people get at odds with one another and their little tiff spreads until it hurts the ministry and the church and families. It would be easy to get angry and bitter at a family who begins to neglect their spiritual upkeep and end up out of church and losing their children to sin and the world, children that we've grown to love and we've ministered to. But we can't allow those things to happen. We've got to face the storms in a right spirit. We've got to face the storms and realize that those that don't know how to deal with the storms need our help and need our guidance and need our counsel in order for them to get back to where they ought to be as a child of God. If we're going to survive and flourish as Christians, then we must learn how to endure the storms we face with the least amount of damage. So I want to talk to you tonight for just a few moments on how to endure our storms. First of all, we can endure the storms when we realize that it was Jesus who put us in the storm. These disciples were with Jesus there on the seaside. They had a great service. Multitudes had gathered together. And now then Jesus sends the disciples down to this little ship to go across the Sea of Galilee to the other side. Jesus put them in the boat. Jesus sent them out to sea, knowing full well that there was a storm that they was going to run into. They went into that storm, and that storm blew. The winds were contrary, and they were afraid. They thought they was going to die. But it sure does help when we're in that kind of a storm to know it was Jesus that put us there, and He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. Jesus put them in the storm. May I say to you, there's only two reasons why God allows storms to come in the lives of Christians. Number one, you're either right with God, or number two, you're not right with God. If you're not right with God, God's trying to use the storm to get you back to the place where you'll get right with God. And He can use you and bless you once again. If you are right with God, God allows the storms to teach you and strengthen you and to increase your faith and your dependence upon Him. But it sure does help when we're facing storms to realize that it's no accident, that God's not caught by surprise, but He allowed us to get in that storm. He put us in that storm. He sent the storm in our life. Even if it's because of our backsliding and sin, like with Jonah, God sent that storm and prepared that fish because He loved Jonah. And He wanted to get him back to the place where he was usable and blessable once again. I don't know if that's a word, but I know that's a position I want to be in relationship to God. We can endure the storms when we'll remember it's Jesus that put us in the storm, that He's still the Lord and the Master of the sea. He's still the one who stirs the storm and calms the storm. This past year, I know time and time again, in my private time, I've had to go back and remember that He's still in charge, I'm not. And I've got to submit to His will. Even if I'm going through a time of burden-bearing difficulties, heartaches, disappointments, He's still God. And He knows what I'm going through. He's allowed me to come to that place. And instead of fighting and running and kicking and rebelling, how much better it is to cry out to Him and submit to Him and ask Him to accomplish His purpose in the problem and in the storm, that we might be what He would have us to be for His glory. Yes, we can endure the storm when we remember it's Jesus who allows the storm and puts us in the storm. Secondly, why does God allow the storms to come into the faithful and obedient Christian's life? Now, we know why disobedient Christians are going to face some storms. God's going to chasten them. He's going to spank them, and He spanks many different ways. It may be a storm. It may be a great fish. I told my grandson, who fishes commercially up out of Dutch Harbor, Alaska, that he'd better remember that God still can stir up a storm and He can prepare a great fish. He better make sure he stays right with God. God's still in charge, folks. But why does faithful Christians go through storm? Why does God allow it? Well, first of all, the storms help keep us humble and from boasting. Hey, if you hadn't caught on yet, this old flesh is prideful. And it sure does want the glory and the credit for the things God does for us. So God many times has to send a storm of some. Oh, it might not be a storm on a sea. It may be a storm in a sick room. A hospital room. It may be a financial storm. I don't know what the name of the storm might be, but I know this. God uses those to humble us, to bring us down so He can exalt us. Isn't it amazing how we want to exalt ourselves, and when we do, we're taking credit for things He's done and other people's done? But when He humbles us, and we realize we're nothing without Him, then He can exalt us. You see, the purpose of our life is not to be exalted, but to exalt the Savior through our lives. Remember the Apostle Paul? Remember, we believe it happened there at Lystra when he was stoned and drug out of the city and left for dead. I picture it in my mind of the people there at Lystra stoning him and dragging him out of the city like an old dead dog and throwing him over in the ditch. We got rid of him. We'll teach him. And Paul said, I don't know whether I was in the Spirit or out of the Spirit, but I was caught up in the third heaven. And what he saw was not lawful for men to see or speak of. And when he came out of that, he tells us about God sending a thorn in his flesh. His storm was in the way of a thorn in the flesh. Oh, it was not a literal thorn that stuck him in the flesh, but it was Satan to buffet him. Now listen to the Word of God. Why God allowed this storm? The Bible tells us twice in this passage why God sent this storm into the life of Paul the Apostle. And by the way, it wasn't a storm that blew a little while and ended. It lasted the rest of his life and the rest of his ministry. Listen to him as Paul speaks in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Many times God sends storms into the lives of faithful Christians to humble us and keep us from that boastful spirit or that superior spirit. I know Christians that they grow a little bit and learn a little bit, and they take a stand for God a little bit, and they separate a little from the world, and they get so proud of themselves they can't stand it. And they develop a spirit of superiority, thinking they're better than anybody else, though because they dress a little different, or they cut their hair a little different, or they talk a little different. God forbid. This is what God's talking about. He wants to keep us humble. He wants to keep us humble so that we won't boast and exalt ourselves and think us better than everybody else. He sends these storms to humble us, to make us realize at best we are servants, and we're here with a message that the unsaved world needs to hear. And God cannot empower and God cannot bless proud Christians. Christians with a superior spirit to others. The storm helps strengthen our faith and make it possible for the Lord to entrust us with something much larger than before. Here's the Apostle Peter. In the midst of this storm with the other disciples, they were all afraid. They saw Jesus coming and thought he was a ghost, a spirit. And Peter said, "If you're the Lord, you beckon me to come and I'll walk to you on the water." And the Lord said, come. Come. Hey, don't you ask God for the impossible if you don't believe God can do the impossible. He said, if you're the Lord, just beckon me to come. Don't you try God, except the only place we're told to try God is in the area of giving. Prove me, he said. See if I won't open the windows of heaven. But old Simon Peter said, bid me to come. And he said, come. And Simon Peter stepped out of that boat on that rolling sea in the midst of the storm. And he walked on the water. Now that's what the Bible says. He walked on the water. I don't know if he took two steps, one step, or if he walked 15 feet or 20 feet. The Bible doesn't tell us, but he walked on the water and is doing fine until he saw the boisterous waves. And he began to sink, and Jesus was so near to him in that storm that he reached out and caught him and saved him from drowning. Now, the rest of the disciples were in the boat, shaken with fear. They were afraid. Jesus rebuked all of them, including Peter, because of their lack of faith. He wanted them to learn from that experience. He wanted them to grow in faith and trust. And Peter did. You see, when the Lord told him he was going to preach on the day of Pentecost among the same Jews that crucified Christ, he stood up and preached in the power of the Holy Spirit. He believed God. Oh, strike out Peter that had denied the Lord three times. Remembered one day he said, Lord, bid me to come and I'll walk to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. And he stepped out and started walking. No, Peter grew in faith. But not only did he grow in faith, the disciples that saw him grew in faith. One of the purposes of storms in our lives is to help us to strengthen our faith. To learn that God is trustworthy. He's dependable. When he says something, we can count on it. You see, God said, Peter, come on, because God wanted him to grow in faith. He had bigger things for Peter to do than just walk on the water. He had a church that he had established and a commission that was given to it to evangelize the world. And that was going to take more than faith just to hold on to a railing on a boat. It was going to take faith to step out, believing he could walk on the water if Jesus bid him to come. So sometimes God puts us in the storms just to strengthen our faith. And then thirdly, the Lord puts his children in the storm because he wants us to start looking for him. Looking for him. How often do you go through your life without ever thinking about your need of the Savior in your daily routine? We've got our life down pat. We can go through our little routine and never think about him. But the songwriter said, we need thee every hour. And we do. And isn't it amazing when things are going fine and the birds are singing and the sun's shining? We think about everything but Jesus. But when the storms start blowing. You know, when they were in that little ship going across the sea, they were rowing and not thinking about Jesus. But when the storms started blowing, they started looking. Because they knew they needed help. May I say to you, on your best day, you need his presence. You need his help. Many times he sends the storms in our life so that we'll stop and realize we need him, not just when things are bad, but every day, every hour, in every situation, whether the birds are singing or the sun is shining, or whether we're in the midst of a terrible storm, we need His presence. We need His power. We need His blessings on our life. So He puts us in storms so that we'll quit looking at the flowers around us, and looking at everything else around us, and we'll keep our eyes focused on Jesus. How many times have I seen people backslide and get so far away from God, they forgot about the Bible, they forgot about church, they forgot about tithing, they forgot about missions, they forgot about praying. God put them in a storm. And when God got through with them, they said, "Man, I'm waiting for Jesus to come. I'm looking for Jesus to come again soon." God would like for us to live every day with that spirit. I'm looking for Jesus to come. Not just in the storms, but in the clear days and the good days. And then may I say in the third place, you can endure the storm when you realize that Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is praying for you. Look at verse 23. "And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." Now in Mark chapter 6, this same story, we're told that Jesus saw them toiling at rowing in the storm. Verse 48 says in Mark chapter 6, "And He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them." He prayed for them. Luke chapter 22, the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not." One of the responsibilities of our Savior as our great high priest is to intercede for us. Romans chapter 8 verse 27 says, "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." And that same chapter, just a few verses down in verse 34, he tells us who it is. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. When we're in the midst of the storms, it sure does help to know that the Master is praying for us. He's interceding for us before the Father. He's on our side. Oh, don't you ever forget, He's not your enemy. He's your friend. And He loves you more than life. He loves you more than Calvary. He loves you more than the suffering of death. Thank God He's praying for us. John chapter 17 is a prayer recorded of Jesus praying. The pattern prayer in the Gospels is called the Lord's Prayer, but in that prayer He was simply teaching His disciples how to pray. But in John chapter 17, Jesus was praying. And in verse number 20, listen to His prayer. "Neither I pray I for these alone," talking about those Christians right there with Him, His disciples, that early church, "but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word." He's praying for Christians that were not yet saved. He's praying for us. For us. And may I say to you that Jesus still prays for us. And it sure does help us to endure the storm when the One who knows all about the problems and the heartaches and the tears and the trials, the One who is the Master of the sea, the One who by His Word created the seas and the winds and the storms, and by His own Word He could speak and then lay down at His feet and be calm. It's good to know He is my God and He is praying for me. Then we can Always endure the storm, who remember that Jesus will come to you in the midst of your storm. Verse 25 and 26, the Bible says, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled and said, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear." But I want you to notice, Jesus came to them in the midst of their storm. In all the places this story is reported in Scripture, the Bible makes sure that we know that in each of those stories, Jesus came to them in the midst of their storms. In Matthew, in Mark, in John, Jesus came to them in the midst of their storms. One thing we know for sure is that when we're in the midst of our storm, Jesus will come to us also if we'll cry out to Him. He's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And especially we can be sure that He'll be there in our darkest hour. It was in the fourth watch that He came to them in the storm. That's from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. In the darkest hour of the night, in the midst of their storm, Jesus came to them. And oh, my dear friend, when you're going through your tough times, your storms, your heartache, and you think the burden is so heavy you can't bear it a moment longer, when you think the day and the night is so dark that you're lost, you've lost your way, when you don't know what to do or where to go and you have no strength to do anything, in the midst of your storm and in that darkest moment, He'll come to you. Cry out to Him. He'll come to you. He wants you to turn your face back toward Him. He wants to hear you cry out for His help. He wants us to need Him in our Christian life. The truth is, He's God and He knows everything. And He knows everything I have a need of. But He tells me to pray about everything. He tells us we have not because we ask not. Why in the world does He want us to pray? Because He wants us to acknowledge that He is God and we're His servant, and He wants us to need Him. In the midst of the storm, for His children, He'll be there in your darkest hour. Then fourthly, we can endure the storm when we understand that Jesus is allowing the storm to help us grow in our faith and trust in Him. Jesus allowed them to get in a situation where they were afraid. That's verse 26. In the midst of their fear, Jesus comes to them and comforts them and says, "Be not afraid. Be of good cheer. It's I." It's in the midst of that storm that Peter made a bold request and did something nobody else has ever done but Jesus. Walked on the water. In the midst of that storm, Jesus was near enough to reach out and catch Peter when he was about to fall. And then Jesus rebukes the trembling disciples because of their lack of faith. He had taught them and used a lesson about faith. He would have us to use what faith we have. And if we'll use what faith we have, we can do what we never dreamed we could do. Don't get down on Peter. Well, bless God, he only took a few steps and then began to sink. Oh, thou of little faith. He had enough faith to get out of the boat. Nobody else did. Use what faith you have. He didn't have enough faith to walk all the way, but he got out of the boat and he walked a little way. What are you doing that cannot be done apart from Jesus Christ? You'd be surprised what you could do if you'd use what faith you have and trust Him. We have not because we ask not. Use what faith you have and watch a miracle working God go to work in your life and for you. And then lastly, you can always endure the storm if you'll remember that Jesus is very near to you. And you'll continue to worship Him in the storm. Be sure you understand that the devil has his purpose in the storms we face also. He wants to get us bitter and angry. He wants to get us discouraged and quit. While the Lord wants to strengthen us for greater service, the devil wants to discourage us and make us bitter so we'll quit. We need to learn the lesson taught here by the Lord. The disciples didn't abandon the ship. The only one who left the ship did so because the Savior beckoned him to come unto him. The rest of them stayed in the boat. And the storm ceased. And they worshiped God. They worshiped God. Oh, my dear friend, so many people falter and fail in the midst of their storm because they stop worshiping God. They get afraid and hide and abandon God. Don't you abandon the gospel ship. Don't you abandon worshiping your Savior. Don't you abandon the assembling of yourself together. Don't abandon your place of service because you're going through a storm. Be faithful. Trust Him. Worship Him. Before you know it, the seas are calm. And you've taken a giant step in growth and maturing for the Lord Jesus. We're going to have storms in our Christian life. Remember, the storms will soon pass and the sun will shine again. We must remain active and faithful to our Lord even in the midst of our storms. He has a purpose in what we're going through. Even if the devil meant it for our harm, He meant it for our good. We can be sure that God intends to use the storm we face for our good and His glory if we'll not give up. We'll not give out, and we'll not give in. Just keep on trusting the Savior, even in the midst of your storm. You'll make it through with renewed faith and greater power with which you can serve God. Enduring the storms. Father, thank you for this wonderful story and this lesson tonight from the Scripture. Help us to learn and grow in our Christian life. Help us learn to use what faith we have where we are right now, knowing that we'll never have greater faith until we learn to use what faith we now have. And Lord, as we use what faith we have, help us to learn to be faithful and to keep on serving. Keep on trusting, not giving up, not giving out, not quitting. Now, Lord, it's been a tough year in many families in our church. Some are going through tough times even now. And I pray that you'll use the message tonight on this Sunday before Thanksgiving to help awaken them to the reality that God is still in charge and He loves them and He's trying to bless them and strengthen them and correct them so He can use them in a greater way than ever before. Lord, help us to focus our eyes on Jesus and not on the storm winds that are blowing. We'll give you thanks for all you shall do in our lives, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet as we begin an invitation song and as we begin to sing. Would you obey the Savior tonight? Maybe you need to come and kneel at an altar and thank God for His presence in your life, for His blessings in your life, for bringing you through the storms, through the trials, through the heartaches. Come on. Come now. Come tonight.
I need Thee. Oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee.